Hello, Betterites. This is Phil Kaplan, and I'm not here alone. I'm here with somebody we all know very well. Say hello, mystery guest.
Yes, hello, Betterites.
Dr. Pompa.
I like that, Betterites.
He's joining us today. And the intention here is a very brief reminder of some of the points that were made on the first call. Now, this was the first of 16. So I'll tell you we've made zero in terms of a dent. But you're about to make the first dent. Really what you heard so far was an introduction. Now it's up to you to make the dent. So you should have received in an email a handout, and it outlines some notes from the call and some directives. And the first one is a quote that I referenced on the call from William James, who I mentioned is a psychologist I have a great reverence for, and he is the guy who coined the term willpower. And what's really important to understand is everyone has will. The question is, will you exert the power you have innately to access that will? That's the question. So if anybody's going, I don't know if I could do this right now. I think I have other things to do. I haven't checked my emails yet. I got to log into Facebook. I forgot to do this thing. Then you are failing to exert your power of will. So it is actually a conscious choice. And what we're asking you to do right now is make the right choice. So there are some questions that I asked you to consider as you read through the notes. And one is, and this is a really important one, what makes you feel significant? This is a really good word because everybody wants to feel significant. And it is a question that we rarely ask ourselves. And I think if we start by saying, as you go through this program, you're moving toward two things, a greater sense of significance and a greater sense of fulfillment, ultimately that leads you to what you really want. So, Dan, what have you seen just in dealing with doctors, chiropractors, health practitioners on so many different levels in terms of their true feelings about how significant they are?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't see it. Is them understanding really who they are, even what they're called to be, I see a tremendous loss in value because of it.
And you've also seen, and I hate to use kind of an old cliche, but it's almost like at a certain point after they connect with you, they come out of their shell, right? It's like there's an emergence, and all of a sudden they go, wow, this is what I'm capable of. And I think really what that comes from is a recognition of what will make them feel significant. And for some reason, that's been shut down. And that's why you, the Betterite, this is a word I made up, but you are now officially a Betterite, you have to identify what makes you feel significant. I cannot answer this for you. Dr. Pompa cannot answer this for you. It's a question you really have to think about right now because we want to make sure you get it. Whatever the thing is, that, or multiple things that make you feel a sense of significance, we cannot make sure you get there unless you identify what they are. And that ties directly into the next question, what do you want? It sounds like a really easy question. Dan, how many children have you raised?
Five.
Was there a period in your life where your children knew exactly what they wanted, whether it was right or wrong? If you said, what do you want, they could answer you, right? They didn't think about it.
Yeah, I think as children, it's oftentimes easier to see what they really want than oftentimes when we become adults.
You know, and if you think of, I don't know, a 4, 5, 6 month old, and they reach for something, right? Like they see something and they reach for it. And really what they're saying is, I want that. There's no shame in reaching for it. I want that, right? That's really, it's an innate human driving force that keeps you alive, as you want, right? You want a meal, you
That's
want
right.
air, you want all these things. But as we get older, we really get shut down, and we get shut down in our belief that we can obtain things. So here's where ego gets in the way. If you don't believe you can attain something, your ego makes you safe by making you not want it. Right? Because you can't get it,
sure.
So if you don't want it, you don't feel bad. The problem
right.
here is, innately, in your heart, you want it. So you've got to learn to get in touch with that thing that has been shut down. And what's really interesting, and it happened on our call, it happens on every first call in Be Better, when I ask people what they want, they either overgeneralize, you know, world peace, right? I want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
but they can't identify what they want, or they do something else, one of the two things. The other thing is they tell me what they don't want. I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to have a mortgage. You've got to break out of that, and you've got to start to get in touch with what you really want. So here's the strange thing. This is hard at first, and then, like everything else here, it becomes easy. Now, there's an emotion that is actually toxic. It is actually poisonous, and that emotion is anger. But it is only toxic and poisonous if you let it rule you. If, however, you can harness that anger, if you recognize that this is an opportunity to fuel yourself, to really gain momentum, steam, so that you could push things forward aggressively, then anger becomes a wonderful thing. So, Dan, I want to ask you, are there things that you can think of that are actually anger triggers for you that you embrace, that you go, oh, good, I'm angry now because I'm going to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to think about, you know, what makes you angry that necessarily you don't embrace, right? I immediately think about my children. I immediately think about when I get disrespected by one of my children, I immediately become angry, right? You know, you feel that disrespect. I mean, it is an absolute trigger for me. You know, on the other side of it, there's things that anger me that I really embrace. You know, when the vaccination conversations come up, I get angry. Psychotropic drugs, because I've lost two close friends because of them. Matter of fact, I have two children that we adopted because the husband was on psychotropic drugs and it created manic behavior. Those topics make me angry. They do. And I absolutely can get in an emotional state that makes me better in those situations. And I would say earlier in my career, it made me worse, though, Phil. I think that the anger sometimes made me less targeted in my communication. You know, but I've learned to really take the anger and become better because of it.
Because you develop tools, and those tools allow you to channel it. So you come to embrace it when you learn how to use it. Right?
Yeah, even with my children. Phil, real fast, when I get disrespected, I've had to develop tools to take that anger and use it to teach, you know, into saying, look, this is, you know, you're going to have a boss one day. It's not going to be me, you know, and just getting them to understand. So I've even had to develop tools around that anger.
So here's what will really help you get started with the right fuel, is get clear on what you want and get clear in what pisses you off, because that will fuel you if you follow everything else that I'm going to suggest. So you've got to start to develop some clarity, and I'm telling you, don't be afraid of this. These are things many people block, their true wants, their angers. You know, they'd rather kind of be in a bubble where they're not real persistent in pursuing what they want, and they're not real angry, they're just okay. I don't want you to be just okay. Dr. Pompey, you know what I hear every day, and you'll be very aware of this now that I pointed out, I'm sure you are already, is this conversation. It goes like this. Hey, buddy, how are you? Good. You? Good. That conversation. I don't know how many millions of times every day. Having owned health clubs, I could stand by the front desk and just watch how many times. Hey, John, how's it going? Good. How you doing? Good. It's meaningless, right? It's nothing. It is absolutely nothing. So here's my challenge to you guys. When somebody asks you how you're doing, I want you to use a different word, because good means nothing. It means like everyone else, right? I want you to use a different word. I want you to say better. Just try it, and you're going to be shocked by the response. They're going to stop in their tracks just because they're not used to hearing it. It's making you different than everyone else. You're better. They don't know how to take that. So you'll see the responses vary. Sometimes it's like, well, were you sick? No, I'm not sick. I'm just better than I was. I got some new tools. I got some anger. You know, I'm better. But look at the difference in the human connection when you break out of that ordinary mold. So I would challenge everyone here to try that, and you can report on the outcome on the next call. Now, part of this idea of separating you, recognizing that you are unique, you are different, although you are the same, right? You are all unique and you are all different. Part of it is you've got to look at the field, whatever field you consider your field, whether it's the fitness field, the health field, the medical field, whatever field you consider yours, you have to look at it. And you have to say, the practitioners in my field, they do this thing that really upsets me, or worse yet, disgusts me, They all do this thing. I'm different than that because I, again, it's an important distinction. This is there right now. It's already present. You're simply uncovering it. But I want you to get clear in your conscious mind, what are the things that they do that make you feel disgusted to some degree, hopefully to a high degree,
mm-hmm.
and why are you different? So let me throw this at Dr. Pompa. Dr. Pompa, how would you answer that?
Well, especially since I've been coaching and responsible to make doctors successful, many health practitioners, they don't know their value, and that absolutely disgusts me.
And you are different because?
I know my value. I know exactly what I'm called to do. I love who I am, and dang it, I get paid for it. That's why I'm different.
Now, if anybody's sitting there writing down what Dr. Pompa said, I want you to crumple up that paper and throw it away because those are his words, right? That's what makes him unique. So I don't want you to go, oh, here's the answer. He's giving us the answer. You've got to find this in you. And that's the hard part. And then I want you to go on. And as you continue to work your way through this worksheet, some things are going to begin to unfold for you. There are many health options available. One that I particularly find disheartening is blank. I think a lot of what fueled my career was the diet industry. I love diets.
Mm-hmm.
I love them because I hate them, because they've given me opportunity, because I know they fail people miserably. So when I can show up in the life of somebody who's been on 32, 33, 46 different diets and they can give me the dates and the names and the pounds they lost, and I can say, hey, I really have a solution, I have to embrace that diet industry. It sent me a lot of business. It helped me help a lot of people. So I want you to look at that in your life. There are many health options available. One that you particularly find disheartening, it kind of hurts your heart a little bit when you go, I can't believe so many people are falling for this or going to this. Dr. Pop, is there one that comes to mind for you?
Well, low-fat diets. How about that one?
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, there's so many here, I can't even continue to think.
So how many people have you met that knew exactly what they needed to do? They needed to go on a low-fat diet. There was no question, right? They knew what they needed to do. And they did it, and for some reason they stopped doing it. Here's what you know. They didn't know what they should do, right? They were making a mistake. They just didn't know it. So that's disheartening to you. So
mm-hmm.
how would you fill in this sentence? Retaining me as a coach and guide is a better choice because?
Well, you're going to learn the truth. 180
and?
Degrees opposite of what you most likely have heard.
Yeah, and when you hear the truth, then what happens?
Your life's going to change. You're going to get your why. Why are you here? Why do you need me?
And when he talks about the why, we're really talking about what underlies emotion. Why are you doing this? There's an emotional reason. We make decisions in an emotional state. So you're going to learn to channel your emotions, but first you got to really get clear. You got to identify them. So I want you to connect with the emotion of anger. But I want you to do it in a very controlled way. Identify the things that anger you. Identify what disgusts you. And out of this, you've got to rise up. You've got to separate yourself. You've got to go, I'm disgusted and angry with the way things are, so I don't want to be like that anymore. I'm disgusted
mm-hmm.
and angry with the environment around me, so I don't want to be in that environment anymore. And this becomes your fuel. And what determines how far you go? Your mindset. The RAS, the EEM,
mm-hmm.
and the PFC. So in wrapping up the assignment, or I'll call it the directives, I ask you to identify, and this is not a one-shot deal, this is throughout the course of the next few weeks, just identify how often you hear the words can't and but. Dr. Pompa, you screen a lot of potential clients, correct?
Yeah, every one of them.
What happens when people say, I tried that, but, and I can't? Do you decide to take this one on because you go, this will be a really cool challenge for me?
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, one thing I've learned in my career is I don't have to work with those people, and I'm not going to spend time convincing them that their excuses or their reasons why not to do something are incorrect. When people hit a certain point, you know, they've already, you know, realized that they're out of excuses and buts. So I screen them for that for sure.
Yeah, so here's something interesting. every health practitioner who hears you say that will agree with you. They go, oh, yeah, yeah, those people.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, those people. What they don't see is they do the same thing.
Mm.
And you see that, too, because you screen people for your Platinum program. We screen people for Be Better.
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely.
What
you can tell when someone's helpable, yeah, just
exactly.
by their language.
Yep. So I want you to be honest enough with yourself. And here's what I'm telling you. Everyone does this, so there's no shame in it. But catch yourself. Identify where are you saying but and can't. I'd love to do the directives that Phil and Dr. Pomper are talking about, but see, as soon as you say that, here's what that means. Do the directives. Kill that but. Crush that but because you have a but problem and make it go away instantly.
Yeah, the but problem is typically linked, if not always, to a mindset problem. So the moment you say but, what comes out next is where you have a mindset issue.
Exactly right. So we're asking you to catch that. You're going to do a little self-examination here, and you're going to go, I see what's been blocking me. You don't realize you're doing it. You see it in other people. I just want you to start to see it in yourself. And when I say that, you might not always vocalize this. This is the voice in your head. We all have voices in our head. Doesn't make us crazy. Some of us may be crazy, but we all have voices in our head. You can call it your conscience. But something's talking to you. You know, which way should I go, left or right? What should I do? Should I hit the snooze button or get up? We're having that internal dialogue. And that internal dialogue often will shut you down because it says but and it says can't. And I want you to catch yourself. You know, here's what happens with this. At first, it's annoying. It's really annoying because they catch themselves a lot. They go, I didn't realize I do it. Yeah, but I only do it but, oh, no, there I go. I can't stop. There's a can't. And they really get kind of tripped up. I hear a lot of younger girls, women, I guess guys too, use the word like a lot, sort of a peeve with me. Just go, you know, it was like I was hanging out and they were like, and she looked at me like, so I said like, right? You've heard people talk like that.
Yeah,
now, here's
I
what's
can't.
Interesting. If you ask that person, do you say like a lot? They'll go, no. And, no, you do. You do. I just want you to notice when you say it. Within 5 minutes, they can't speak. They become mute because they never realize how much they say it, and they keep going, well, I like, and they catch themselves, and they trip themselves up, and that's what's going to happen at the beginning because you didn't realize this was going on in your subconscious, but it is. So after you go through that exercise of frustrating yourself, then you start to change it, and that's when it starts to really feel good. And then the final piece of this week's assignment or directive is to start to pick out what makes you unique. And here's the way I want you to look at it. Don't invent it. This is not, I want to be unique. This is, I am unique because. And these are things that already exist. So you almost have to think about it like you're digging. It's already in there. You just have to uncover it. Because there are things that disgust you. There are things that make you angry. If you don't want to be a part of that, if you don't want to be affected by that, if you don't want to get sucked into that, let's find out what makes you unique. And this will become your greatest marketing leverage. Even if right now it doesn't seem to, you're going to go, well, I'm unique because, just come up with it. Don't try to figure out how it's going to play into it. I'll teach you that. But just identify it. So in wrapping this up, Dr. Pomper, what makes you unique?
It's simple. Yeah, I'm unique because I got sick. And that adversity gave me a mission to change the world. And I'm also unique because I was not going to stay in that position. You know, oftentimes people become satisfied with where they are, and I'm a 3%er. There is no doubt about it. I'm going to do whatever it took and what it takes to get well. And I did.
So let's just think about this for a minute. Because a lot of people answer the question with a trait, right? So they'll go, oh, I'm unique because I really listen. And that's nice. It sounds good. But if we sat 1,000 physicians, chiropractors, health practitioners, personal trainers, acupuncturists, we sat them all in a room, and we asked everybody one at a time, do you listen? What would they all say?
Yes.
So, okay, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But is it unique if they all say yes? So you got to look for what makes you unique. So Dr. Pompa just pointed something out that at first glance you go, that's a negative. Oh, he was sick. Poor guy. He's looking at it going, this gave me an edge. This gave me a massive edge because I know what it feels like. I've been there. I've suffered it. So you can say to people, I know how you feel. I felt the same way. And
right.
All of a sudden you're bonding. So that is a very unique and powerful gift that Dr. Pompa received. So I want you to start to look at that. What are those gifts that may not initially feel like gifts, but that really make you different and unique? So I hope this was enough to prompt you forward. If you already did the directives, congratulations. I'd encourage you to go through it again. Maybe you could add something to it. This is a process of discovery and also uncovering, getting all those blockages out of the way. So I hope this inspired you to follow through so when we have our next call, you guys are ready to roll forward with real momentum. Dr. Pompa, anything you'd want to say just in concluding this and getting them inspired for next week?
Yeah, reiterating what you said at the top of this call, that willpower is a choice. You know, you could just participate or you could do everything that Phil is teaching you to do. I did at one point. That's I did. Phil, you didn't give me these. I didn't rehearse answers. Those answers just came easy to me. They roll off my tongue. I said that I am a 3%er. I identify myself as somebody who's willing to do what most people aren't going to do. And being a 3%er, that's a choice. When you look at people who are successful in anything at life, they're 3%ers, people who get well over cancer, adversity, change the world, 3%ers. But the best part for you, it's a choice. So it is a choice to participate in this program, not just participate as a innocent bystander, if you will, but to make sure that you dive in deep to every exercise that is given to you. Be a 3%er.
Fantastic, Dr. Pompa. You're awesome as always. Betterites, follow through. We will speak on our next call. Until then, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.